From the shadows of the radio towers,
this is the Gay PHX Podcast.
Your weekly dose of real talk,
queer joy,
and community connection.
It's gonna be a good day, and everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast, where community takes center stage. And I'm your host, Billy Foster. Phoenix was on fire this 4th of July, and not the kind that melts your mascara. As we slid into the weekend, we started Charlie's splashy waterslide party, turned up the heat at AML's cockout bash at the Anvil, and wrapped it all up in a glitter-soaked bang at Ozbar, where the final pair of the 54 tickets that were given away thanks to our amazing partners at Live Nation. And Saturday, well, the explosions kept coming, and we don't mean from fireworks. We hit three different pool parties from across the valley before closing out the night at Grit, where the energy was absolutely electric. Big love to Jim and Don for creating an unforgettable vibe, and a special shout out to Dan Dan, who kept me entertained all night long. And while we're shouting out community leaders, Gabby with the Arizona Women of Leather, thank you. Your heart, your friendship, and helping AWL grow into something truly beautiful, we see you and we support you. Now this episode, we're celebrating voices that lift our community higher. We're talking with Chico from Onyx, a leather man, kink educator, and sober space maker who's launching Arizona's Onyx chapter and building a stronger presence for queer men of color in leather spaces. Then we sit down with indie music icon Tom Goss, whose songs like Bears, Bear Soup, and his haunting reimagining of Son of a Preacher Man explore queer joy, body positivity, and raw emotional truth. Tom's music has touched lives around the world, and he's sharing that journey with us today. And before we dive into those conversations, let's talk about what's happening this week. This Wednesday night, it's Thwacky Wednesday, and Onyx Southwest is teaming up with Team Friendly for a flogging class that's perfect whether you're brand new or ready to level up your skills. It's 10% demo, 90% experience, so bring your gear, your curiosity, and come ready to learn, share, and connect in a space that's safe, sexy, and welcoming. Next week, Wednesday, July 17th, get ready for Tough, the leather speakeasy at The Rock, hosted by AML's own Miss Honey Tea. Expect complimentary hors d'oeuvres, BDSM demos, and real talk in a sultry speakeasy setting. And just a reminder, AML has a lot cooking for August, so stay tuned right here for all the updates. All right, towels off, turn us up. Here's Brian with what's happening this week.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast,
where community comes first.
Hey, hey, Gay PHXers, summer's in full sizzle and your social calendar is about to catch fire. Whether you're gaming under the stars, summoning some drag sorcery, or diving into the deep end of leather kink, Phoenix is coming correct this week with a lineup that's hot, queer, and can't miss. Coming to you live from the shadows of the radio towers, it's time for Brian's Hot 3, your guide to the boldest, brightest LGBTQ plus events lighting up the desert. I'm Brian, and here's what's serving this week. Wednesday, July 9th is movie night under the stars at the Thunderbird Lounge. 7 p.m. will be a tournament and 8 p.m. the movie. Retro games, cold drinks, free popcorn. Starting this week, your weekends are officially spoken for. We're kicking things off with a classic. Super Mario Bros. 1993 hits the patio screen. Mario Bros. Tournament starts at 7. High score wins a prize. Movie rolls at 8 p.m. under the stars. It's weird. It's nostalgic. It's everything you didn't know you needed on a Wednesday night. Free popcorn with RSVP and a full bar to keep your power-ups coming. Thursday, July 10th is Voltage, Witches and Britches, The Rock, 9 p.m. This month, Voltage conjures a night of high glam, hexes, and low-key filth with a theme, Witches and Britches. Starring Kay Yass, doing birthday spells guaranteed, Mikel Angelo with ghoul goals, Canna Bliss bringing that high magic, Mari Knight, your personal nightmare, Pyra Addiction hosting fresh off vacation and ready to burn it all down. $10 cover, 21 plus, bring your boldest, baddest energy. The coven is ready for you. Saturday, July 12th, AML, Some Like It Hot, Demon and Demos at the Anvil, 9 p.m. Bondage, Fire, Leather, Arizona Men of Leather, turning up the intensity with Demon Demos. A hands-on exploration of kink, fire play, and connection in a judgment-free space. Whether you're curious or kinky, this is your chance to watch, learn, and play safely with the community. No cover, but 21 plus please. Anvil's the place, and this Saturday, Some Like It Hot. And that's your Brian's Hot 3. This has been your Gay PHX Weekend Picks, your weekend passport to queer magic, nightlife, chaos, and Phoenix Pride. Catch you next week, same time, same vibe, same rainbow-tinted mic. Whether you're tossing fireballs or tossing drinks back, remember, Pride doesn't live in a month. It lives in us, loud, proud, and unapologetically here. So show up, speak up, sparkle on. For even more events, giveaways, and fabulousness, hit yourgayphx.com, your home for everything fun, local, and queer in the desert. Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to gayphx.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
More stories, more voices. More Pride.
You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
When you feel like you're different or no one understands you, it's not always easy to ask for help. But no matter what you're dealing with, confusion about your sexual orientation or gender, sadness or thoughts of suicide, you don't have to do it alone. I'm Daniel Radcliffe, and I believe that reaching out for help is the bravest thing a person can do. If you are struggling and need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. It's free and confidential, and trained counsellors are there to listen 24/7 without judgment. To learn more about the Trevor Project's life-saving work for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning young people, go to thetrevorproject.org. Remember, you are never alone. You don't need to keep thoughts of suicide to yourself. There is help to be had, and there is nothing wrong with asking for it.
Another voice. Another vibe. Another reason we love this community.
He's a Leatherman, a kink educator, and a visible force in our Phoenix community, especially for those navigating kink, identity, and sobriety with pride and purpose. You've seen him leading demos at the Anvil and representing Onyx at Chrome and building spaces that welcome all of who you are. Stepping up to the rainbow-tinted microphone, it's Chico with Onyx.
That has to be the best intro I've ever had.
Oh,
that was amazing.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you know, my live studio audience, it's right here.
Amazing. Whenever I try to be funny, I myself can't press the button.
Yes, yes. Oh, it's a wonderful bridge. It's just like, oh, magic. Let's start with your story. Where did you grow up and what was your path to the leather community?
I grew up in border town in El Paso, but I was born in El Paso, but I lived in Juarez across the border. And so I went to school in Juarez, and I actually didn't start speaking English until I was 13. At 13, I moved back into the U.S., and then I started going to school, went to college. And then in the 80s is where it really started, in Denver, Colorado. I met this wonderful leather guy. His name was Val. He took me under his wing and started showing me around. He introduced me to the Dom, and I got tied up for the first time. And that's when I knew that this was the third floor. Didn't stay in the community then, but yeah, it was quite an experience. It was a lot of fun.
Now, you've spoken about how resilience plays a big part in your life. How has that shaped your journey?
The interesting part is that when I was 18, one of my brothers outed me to my family. So my family stopped speaking to me for about 20 years.
Oh.
And fortunately, my solution was I found alcohol. And I was a young gay boy, and so I was at the bars all the time. And so I drank a lot. And my journey just went downhill. I was fortunate enough that I found sobriety. And I found a really good friend in my life that helped me through that. And I've been sober since December 16, 2002.
Congratulations.
It's been an amazing journey because through my struggles, I've been able to really help others find their own journeys, and particularly with sobriety. Over the years, I've been really involved in the sober community. I sponsored a lot of people. There's nothing better than watching somebody flourish, particularly given that I see where they start. And eventually, that's what people say about me when they first saw me, because I'm crazy. And see me now. It's really been quite an amazing experience.
And is that what helped inspire you to create Renewal in the Desert?
Yeah, actually, Renewal in the Desert, a friend of mine and I had been asked to speak at different conferences and share my story. And I was in New York, and they had a gay men's retreat. And that's where I got the idea. I thought, wow, we need something like this in Phoenix. And so I came back and I gathered my group and I'm like, we got to do something like this. And sure enough, two of us, my friend Ron and I started on this journey of creating the space where people that are sober could come and explore just their spiritual side of sobriety. And so we started that, been probably 13 years ago now, still running strong. But all of that is really what inspired me through my own journey to say, what's missing? There's something missing here that we don't have. And so it was really cool to be able to walk through that with several friends. It was a great experience. Our first year, we had about 40 people. And by the time that I stepped aside, we had probably close to 80 participants. Wow. So it's been pretty cool.
Wow, amazing. How does sobriety inform your approach to kink and service or the community? So much of the stuff happens at bars. How is that for someone who has to deal with that? How do you?
I will answer it in two ways. First, bars are really important.
Right.
Because for us in our community, they are the foundation of where we gathered. That's the place where we go and we're safe and we can explore and have a lot of fun with like-minded people. That's a really important component. But how I do it is that I stay really centered around who I am. I've been sober for a while. And so the things that I did when I first got sober, I'm still doing today. And for me, that's a really important part is that I do meditation, I do exercise. So my life is very different than the way that it was. So I'm well equipped to go into those spaces. And the other thing that's really important is that my circle, a lot of my people in my circle are all sober. So we go together and we have a blast. And so that is by encourage people to go. I always encourage people, don't go by yourself. If you participate in one of the programs, check with your sponsor first before you do that. If there's any sober guys that ever want to go out and explore and go to the bar, I am happy to take them. We go with purpose. Like I go when there's events happening, primarily that's when I go. But I have a lot of fun there. So that's a really important part of me participating in my sobriety outside of the bar. But when I go to the bar, I engage with. For me, it's a lot of fun to engage with my friends. So, yeah.
Is it fair to say that you build different kind of coping mechanisms, too, to help distract you from that?
Yeah. Over the years, one of the things that I learned really early on is that I don't have to stay the entire time. Because when I was drinking, I would close down the bar. Sometimes I would open it, and sometimes I would close it. And sometimes those two things happen the same day. So what I've learned is that
I recall those days. I think we all go through that phase at least once.
For me, it was a long phase.
It was a really long phase.
I had a lot of phases. But now I was out on Saturday. Phoenix Boys of Leather had their gear night. And it was really packed. And I got there about 9. And at 10 o'clock, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go. But like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going home. I'm going to go get something to eat and I'm going to go home. So that realization that I don't have to stay there if I don't want to, that was a really big change for me.
Get that. Let's talk about Onyx Southwest. What drew you to their mission?
When I started back into my kink journey back in 2016, I met someone who eventually became my sir. I talked about my experiences with walking into kink and leather spaces and experiencing things like not being acknowledged or my presence wasn't even welcome and certainly not seeing anybody that looked like me. I was really uncomfortable, even at my age. He encouraged me to meet some of the guys from Onyx Northwest in San Francisco, which is where my chair was at the time. And so I met them and they encouraged me to connect with Onyx Southwest. And what I found there were people just like me that were struggling at times in kink spaces, but the bigger thing that I found was this really incredible brotherhood. And to be able to connect with people like me has been really almost life-changing. It's been a really cool experience. I'm very comfortable with all of the guys. We get along really well. And the other important part for me is that Onyx also focuses a lot on community. And so we do a lot of fundraising through my history. That's been a really big focus of mine, which is I do a lot of fundraising. I've been on boards. I've been on committees. Obviously, I started Renewal in the Desert. And so there's always been this part of me that's been of service to the community. And so the combination of having the leather kink experience with service, for me, that really sealed the deal.
And how has the Onyx shaped your role as a mentor and educator then?
It's a combination of Onyx and I also belong to the 15 Association. The 15 Association is another club, Kink and Leather Club, that I belong to that's based out of San Francisco.
I have so much to learn.
That's probably why. But the 15 Association is the longest standing gay male BDSM association in the western part of the U.S. Because of that, we have a lot of really experienced players that have these amazing skills, and they have served as mentors for me. And as a result of that, I've been able to pass that on to others. And with Onyx Southwest, we also have several people that are very skilled in a lot of different areas. So we mentor each other and we support each other. So it's been a really great experience for me.
So speaking of the demos that you lead, what's your core message when you teach?
The most important thing is with any, if you see me playing and when I'm doing demos, you will always see me engaged in a conversation before any play starts. We, most kinksters operate under the principles of safe, sane, and consensual. And for me, that's a really important part of it. I engage in conversations, especially in a bar. One of the first questions that I ask people is, have you been drinking? And if they have, then I generally will say, how much? Because I want to make sure that they're coherent, that they're giving me
true consent, right?
And because consent is one of the most important things that we can do. The other piece is that I talk about, there's another acronym that we often use, which is RAC, which is risk-aware consensual kink. And so I talk to them about that. Do you have any injury? You know what we're going to engage in. I'm going to show you where I'm going to flog you. And then I make sure, are you still okay with it? I will check in with you frequently to make sure that you're still okay, that you're not having any second thoughts. So I engage in really big conversations up on stage before I ever start doing any kind of impact. For me, there is that part of the education, because then afterward, I will have a conversation with them. How was that for you? What do you want to explore next? And I've gotten so many friends out of those demos that's been really cool when they reach out to me afterward and say, hey, I want to explore something different. So it's a really cool experience.
That's awesome. The fantasy is that you just meet someone and then everyone instantly knows what they're, you know, what everyone consents to. And that's not how it works in the real world, people. We got to talk.
Put down the porn.
Right.
Have a conversation.
It's so funny because you think, everyone knows that porn is fantasy, but yet they still also think it's reality. And it's, you need to educate yourself. And that's part of the reason for this podcast is to make this talk normal talk, normalize this so that we can have these conversations. Because if it's taboo and we don't talk about it, then it's never going to grow. We're never going to get educated. We're never going to get out of it just being the fantasy.
Yeah.
So with your wide range of interests, how do you help others explore kink without any kind of shame?
The most important part that I've been doing is being very visible. I travel quite a bit to a lot of events. And sometimes when I travel, I'll see that I'm probably one of the few people of color. So that's the most important part. I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, we were at Chrome and me and one of my dear friends, Dave, he started doing the demos and he was also vlogging. So we were both vlogging. And he had primarily a lot of white guys go in and volunteer to get flogged. And then he stepped down. He got tired. He says, wanted to go up there. And so I went up there. And pretty soon, a guy came up and we had the conversation, did the demo, finished. And then all of a sudden, I had this line. And it was all guys that identified as POCs. And Dave came up and he said, you have been flogging all people of color. And he said, people that have, this was their first time that they've ever done it. So for me, the visibility part is probably one of the most important. The second piece for me is that being out visible like that and being proud of who I am, I think also plays a part in them being able to explore and say, oh, if that guy's up there, maybe I can do it. And then the third part is probably the most important is creating one-on-one connection. Because if I can connect one-on-one with the individual, then typically that's where the really solid conversations happen and they can get more vulnerable with me when we're one-on-one and then we can talk about what they're looking to explore.
Touched on this, but what's another example that reminds you of why this work is important, what you're doing?
Well, I remember walking in we were in a large circle, and I looked around, and there was nobody that looked like me. But also, nobody really talked to me. I sat there, and when I walked in, nobody acknowledged me. I sat in the space just by myself. Fast forward several years later, when I had been deeply embedded in the community, I walked into the same space and noticed that there were some people that looked like they were very hesitant. And when group participations were happening, they were not participating or being acknowledged. When I see that kind of stuff is when I think, this is why we do the work that we do. Because I can see that there's a space that's missing. I know that we can help in that area. And the other part is that after that specific incident that I'm talking about, those guys came up and talked. And said, hey, we haven't seen you before. And I'm like, no, we talked a lot. Let me tell you about Onyx. I hope that answers your question.
It does. Part of it is also me trying to think of how to ask this properly. So hopefully I don't ask it offensively. If I do, please correct.
No, please go ahead.
As a man of color, how hard is it in the leather scene to be seen like that? When I think about it, like everything is Tom of Finland. It's all a bunch of white guys with mustaches and they're hot guys and everything. But I don't see a whole lot of people of color, just even in the artwork.
Yeah.
So how is it for you as a man of color trying to be in the scene? Are we more welcoming? Do we have to be better about it?
Yes to all your questions. Yes, we have to be. But when I first came back in 2016, it was really rough for me to find my spot. And as I mentioned before, I had the advantage of having a sir that was just a huge advocate for me. And he really helped me to get connected with some of the different communities, like the 15 and Onyx. And through that, my confidence built, my skills built, my comfort with just being an open, kinky leather guy. That also went up. And as a result of that, now I create my own. I don't wait for anybody to give me permission to enter. I don't let whatever is going on outside affect what's going on inside of me. I am very confident now. I can walk into any space, but it's been a journey. And so part of my goal is to really help those individuals that are feeling that to get to the same space, because we have a lot of wonderful people in our community that are really working to create safe spaces for us. But the unfortunate part is that it's a two-part answer. You have to have people and advocates that are creating the safe space, but you also have to have people that walk through those doors to those safe spaces.
Right.
And so sometimes we focus on, yes, we create the safe space, but then we don't find the people that we want to come into those spaces to walk through those doors. So that's why the work that we do at Onyx is, yes, creating the safe space, but also inviting those individuals that have not felt welcomed to walk through those doors and explore. So, yeah, it's really important work that we get to do.
So how can we help you with the outreach?
That's a great question, Billy. And I'm going to give you a really long answer.
Okay. Yeah.
This is long. The first and probably most important thing for people to do is to educate themselves, to take the time to learn about the experiences and struggles of people of color in the leather and kink community. And they can do that generally by talking to people like me, listening to this podcast, and hopefully it makes sense to them. Read books, articles, engage in conversations with people of color to listen to their experiences. Another thing that people can do is amplify POC voices, make space for POC voices to be heard, share our story. What you're doing, the work that you're doing is incredible. The work that you're doing to amplify all the voices in our community is so important, particularly with everything that's going on politically right now. Our voices need to be heard. Our voices need to be loud. And the fact that you're providing the space for people, I think, is pretty incredible. Actively promoting our events is another way to do it. Any initiatives that are being led by people of color is also very helpful. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. When there's group discussion, make sure that POC voices are heard. Look around the room. Is there anybody that's there that's not being heard? Are people taking over and not allowing all the voices heard? Are you ready, Billy?
I am, yes. No, because, again, it's about education, and we need to know. And this is the only way it's going to happen is if we tell people, right?
Yeah, it is.
Well, brief little side story. So I hate when people talk to me markety because I don't want to be sold. But I've had to learn to talk that way because other people want to be or need to be talked to that way, mostly just because they're just distracted in their own day-to-day lives. And so if you don't talk to them that way, you don't get your message across. So I've had to learn to adapt to talk the way I don't like to talk in order to get the message out.
But why? I use a lot of cuss words when I talk. So sitting here talking with you, I tone it down.
Oh, you don't have to. It's a podcast.
Are you sure?
Totally sure. Because, again, the whole point of the podcast is for us to normalize how we talk to each other. That's why I tell people this is really a conversation. What I'm doing here is it's helping to educate me and hopefully at the same time educate the listener. And it helps make me a better person because I'm learning each time with each episode, with each interview, and the way we talk. This is how we talk to each other. And one of the biggest moments that changed my life was Kage. I'm a big radio guy. And listening to Kage and the way they just talked, and it was my voice. Yeah. They talked to me. And knowing how powerful that is, because I grew up dependent on radio. I didn't have friends. So I had a DJ that every time I turned on the radio, there was my friend. My DJ friend was always there. To the fact that I could call into them and I actually talked to them. So I know how powerful that was. So I wanted to try and bring that here. And that's why we started GayPHX.
Back up. I've listened to most of your podcasts, so there you go.
Oh, thank you. Hey, we appreciate that. You said you had more to say, so go ahead. Continue, please.
Yeah, I have a couple more there, a few more that I think are really important. I often hear, I'm an ally. Don't just fucking say it. You've got to do it. You've got to act like an ally. When you hear stuff that shouldn't be said, stand up and say something. Don't just let it sit there. Because I've been in spaces where somebody says something and it's really uncomfortable and nobody says anything. And then, unfortunately, I'm put in a position where I have to be the one that says something. Oh, I'm perfectly capable of it. But this is where, if you're an ally, use that privilege. Stand up and say something. Sometimes you'll hear it hidden in humor. And I'm here to tell you, it is not funny. It is not funny at all when you're talking about race or like trans people or anything like that. It's just not funny. But don't fucking say it.
Right.
The other thing that I'll say about that is that sometimes what will happen is that men of color, specifically Black men of color, will be elected for, they want to have some kind of race play. And let me tell you that, yes, there are people that like that, but the majority of us don't. And we don't engage in it.
I missed that. Sorry.
Race play.
Race play.
Yeah.
Oh, is that like a Southern thing?
Yeah. That is shit.
Because someone said that one time and I'm like, oh, you must be from the South.
Yeah. You also have the best laugh. I have time I hear your laugh. Yeah, but criticizing people of color is never good. It just never is. And I have some great people in my circle that when I think of allies, I think of them because they are my biggest advocate. Dave Watt, obviously,
he's
with Team Friendly. He is nothing short of amazing. And then you've also met Billy Lane, who's another one of my big advocates. And then another buddy of mine, Blindness. They're not just allies. They live it. They demonstrate it. They put me up front. They make sure that my voice gets heard. They're just really pretty amazing people. And then the last thing I'll say is listen to people of color and learn from that. If for some reason, one of us tells you that something's offensive, don't get offended. If we're telling you it's offensive, just listen and say, my apologies. I didn't mean for that to come across that way. I'll do better. Would you mind sharing with me what was offensive about it? And then try to learn from that. And I think those are really important things to do so that we can really engage at a different level.
What's next for you and for Onyx Southwest?
So what's next for us is the biggest thing is that I've been in the recruiting phase of our journey. because I'm the first and only member so far here in Arizona on a Southwest. We're going on our 10th year, by the way, on a Southwest. This is our 10th year anniversary. And we're based in LA, but we are connected to Arizona, Colorado, Utah, and Palm Springs. And so since I'm the only one here, I've been actively seeking out potential members for us. And we're starting a pledge class this next month. Actually, this month, it's June now. So we're starting a pledge class this month. And I have four, maybe five individuals that are going to go through the pledge process that have submitted their application and they're ready to start. I'm super excited about that because I want to grow the membership here in Arizona. I think we have a really great opportunity to do a lot of really cool things here. We're having our very first, so you're one of the very few people that know this. We're having our very first event, official event for Onyx Southwest here in Arizona, November the 15th. Put that on your calendar. It's going to be a community event. More details to come. That's a big thing that's happening. And then for Onyx as a whole, we have our 30th anniversary. So we have Blackout, which happened in Chicago. It's October 16th through the 19th, if I remember correctly. And everyone's invited. And it's a huge party and celebration. So those are a few of the things that are coming up for us.
Hopefully, we can do what we can to try and help you drive membership up. And let's see if we can help you get 10 people for the 10 years that it's been.
That would be pretty amazing.
So you've got four now, right? So we have to help you try and get six more people to join. So we'll see what we can do. Well, the membership drive or something. How can people find you or follow you on the socials?
On the socials, they can find me on Instagram or under Chico Onyx. And on Facebook, they can also find me there. Same thing. You can find me under Chico Onyx. You can also find me on Recon if you wish. So that's another, but I don't know, but my handle is there.
They can DM you for that.
Yeah, they can. You can also email me. My email is chicophoenixphx@gmail.com. They can also email me there.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join me here and help educate our listeners and myself.
Thank you, Billy. I appreciate your time.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Looking for a reason to smile this summer? Grit pool parties are back.
Freaking awesome!
And Tempe Sundays just got a whole lot hotter. Clothing optional. BYOB. And yes, the legends are true. Whether you're here to flirt, float, or find your tribe, it's all happening at Grit. Spots are limited. Visit gritaz.com to grab yours.
This is what community sounds like.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about HIV services. Live and love stigma-free of HIV. Today's world, HIV is very treatable and preventable. So in my opinion, fighting stigma of people living with HIV and testing for HIV is the first step. Whether testing for the first time or living with HIV, care and support are available throughout Phoenix. Share this message with your friends and family and let them know you'll be there for them no matter what. HIV testing is quick, free, and confidential, and results can come in just minutes. And if someone tests reactive for HIV, treatment helps people live a long, happy, healthy life and keeps the virus undetectable, meaning the virus can't be passed on to others sexually. We are all in this together. All over Phoenix, trusted providers are offering care, connection, and compassion without judgment. Check out the website hivaz.org for more information and to link to a provider. Let's live and love stigma-free of HIV.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
Today, I get the honor of talking with someone whose voice has carried through the halls of LGBTQ+ venues, festivals, and hearts around the world. He's a powerhouse performer, a bold truth teller, and a storyteller who knows how to blend vulnerability, pop hooks, and unapologetically queerness into unforgettable experiences. please welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone, Tom Goss.
Thank you. Wow. I love that intro. That was so lovely. I was like, is that me?
Yes, of course it is. Let's start with your roots. Drew you to music in the first place?
Oh, that's a really good question. I was just obsessed with Dave Matthews Band. And so I asked for a guitar for my high school graduation and then just started playing all exclusively Dave Matthews songs for 5 years.
That's awesome. I love Dave Matthews.
I was just obsessed. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, yeah.
And when did you realize that you had something to say through song?
That's a really good question. I started writing really early on in my journey. And I think I was like a little frustrated with like pop music doesn't feel like in college. Like I just thought that music was, I didn't understand how people had all this power to like facilitate change and reach people and have an impact. And then they were using it to pick up girls or sell shoes. And I thought that was like a waste of this superpower. And I thought, oh, it'd be really cool to make music that meant something, that has some sort of message to it. And so that's always been at like the forefront of my mind in when I create. And I also think like generally when I think about who I am as a person, like, I'll be thinking that people do that I just don't understand. I don't understand why you would do that. It's like, I think it's just something that's innate in me. Like, I don't really understand the point of doing anything unless it's for some sort of bigger reason. It's the source of a lot of conflict between me and my husband as well. So,
I too wonder sometimes, what was the motivation behind that choice?
Yeah, and I think the thing is, like, there is no motivation. Somebody just wanted to do it. I just wanted to do it for fun. And that's it. Just get in the moment. And I don't really operate that way. It seems like it would be easier sometimes to operate like that. You didn't have to like overly process and think about everything and, you know, have an excessive amount of intention behind all the things that you do. But that's just kind of who I am. Yeah. I don't know when it started, but I just think it's like a part of who I am. Like, if I'm going to do something, then I'm really going to put my heart and soul into it. And I want it to be meaningful in some way.
And do you remember the moment when you felt like, yeah, this is really working? I'm an artist and I'm being heard.
I don't think I've gotten to that moment yet.
Okay.
I think moments like this seem great. Oh, I just really should have sung. I mean, it's really resonating with people. It's making people happy. And that this is a great moment. Oh, okay. I feel like the thing that I'm doing is being heard to an extent. But I think the hard part about being an artist is you are constantly struggling with the idea of, is what I'm doing valuable and is what I'm doing worth it? And should I quit and just go get a job? I think that if you asked any artist, especially independent artists like myself, there's very few days in their life where that process doesn't go through their head. So I feel really, you know, all that being said, I feel really grateful to have made stuff that people have watched millions of times and listened to millions of times. I'm on tour right now and tour starts on Friday. And I'm so excited to be seeing friends that I've made over the course of almost 20 years in this business. But it is really hard. It's a really hard business because you're ultimately going to be ignored by far more people than are going to listen.
It does. No, because there's a lot of noise out there, especially as I build this podcast. I'm realizing how much more noise is out there than I even anticipated. That are people shouting at people all day long to give us your money, give us your time, give us your attention, give us your whatever it is. So I get it. I understand. And when you don't have a big label behind you to shout to the rooftops about you, you have to do it yourself. And that's why I know the struggle that you go through. That's why I wanted to bring you on this podcast and help spread the word about you, because I know that you've got things like, I discovered you through Bears. That I just loved that video. I love that song. I still play that song. I love it. And so much so that I wanted to draw pictures out of it. And that's how I found you and how I met you all those years ago.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, I'm that guy here in Phoenix.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. And that song has impacted so many people's lives.
Right.
And I'm really grateful for that. And truthfully, I said all that stuff that's pessimistic before, but at the end of the day, I know that I made that and I know that I've impacted people's lives and that can never be taken away from me. Regardless of the fact that it's really hard financially to do sometimes because impacting people's lives usually just doesn't mean that you make any money.
No, I understand.
It's weird to say that out loud, but that is what it is.
It has to be a labor of love for you to continue doing it.
Yeah.
Beyond fiscal responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, do you feel any kind of pressure to conform or change your sound? Or have you, because you're independent, you get to, you are who you are?
I feel really grateful to have done it in the way that I have done it. Speaking about not having a big label or not having support, really, people are always asking, like, how you, who does this for you and who is that for you? And I'm always like, that's pretty much all me. I really am the driving force behind almost everything that gets created. And, but at the same time, doing it as fiercely independently as I have means that the people that do listen to my music and the people that resonate with my music really love me and care about me and want to be a part of what I bring to the table. And they are more likely to just be like, okay with the changes. If I decide I want to do something different, then they're like, oh, that's fun, because they get it. It's not like I'm this rock, I play rock music and I look like this, and then all of a sudden I try to make a country record and everybody makes fun of me.
Right.
Because I'm not supposed to be anything but myself. And that's really the joy and the privilege of having built the career in the way that I have. It's a smaller career, but the people that are interested in me are really interested in me. They're not interested in the product that I have become the face of because the corporation made the rest of it.
You're not a fad. I think of George Michael's, one of his songs where he talks about how he had to go on to MTV and how they had to reboot him, so to speak, and gave him the look and defined it. He didn't get to define himself, it seems. And once he was on his own, then he got to. But then nobody wanted to stand with him because he wasn't trendy anymore. He wasn't what everyone was saying. And so only the real fans stuck with him. And I feel like you have people that are invested in you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And he so famously did when he came into himself, it was Faith.
Faith was, that was the album. And then after that, it was, right.
Yeah, and then he burned the jacket from Faith in that music video where he had all the models in it. He wasn't even in the video. That was beautiful.
And a lot of people didn't like it. And then they turned on him. And I was like, but this is who he is. This is who he's always been. Now he finally gets to do it. And now you're going to turn on him. So did you really like him? Did you, or were you just brainwashed into it? Then I also think of Chosen the Pussycats. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but I love that movie. If you haven't seen
I've never seen it.
Highly recommended. Seriously. Go. Okay. Hopefully it's on Netflix or something. Go find it. It is about the music industry. It's about pop culture. And it is a very deep movie, but it doesn't look like it. It feels like you're watching bubblegum, but it's much deeper than that. And if you watch for all of the nuances, you'll understand. And I think you'll understand.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now your music often speaks loudly about love, identity, and body positivity. What compels you to write so personally?
I'm not sure that I know any other way to write. I'm not going to be writing about somebody else's experience. So I guess the thing that compelled me to write personally is that I'm deeply connected to it. And yeah, I guess that's it. I guess I want my music to say something. And so I'm going to be writing things that are important to me. And ultimately that means I'm going to be writing things that are close to my heart and that I have personal experience with. And even if I am writing somebody else's story, it's like somebody who's impacted me or somebody that I care about or somebody's story that I've been moved by and therefore has compelled me to write something.
That's beautiful. And what is your favorite kind of gig to do? Like you've been at Pride stages. We've seen you like at Newtown. That was wonderful for us because you were like right there.
Yeah, that's fun for me. Newtown was pretty small, but I like that. I like being in small, intimate spaces. I like having a community. I like having a conversation. Sometimes if the space gets too big, it becomes a little impersonal. So I do really like playing in small places, playing in listening rooms, playing places where I get to interact with the audience and bring them on stage or sing with them or talk to them after the show or go out and get grilled cheeses at some point in time. I think all that's my favorite. Actually, I will say that Newtown, I had a hard time finding something late after the show. I was so hungry.
Yes.
You guys need to work on that in Phoenix.
Yes, where, we do. Well,
whatever we neighborhood suck as far as that. Newtown was in, there was like, I was like, where, I like had to drive for 20 minutes to find a taco place.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm in Phoenix. There should be a taco stand right outside of Newtown where I can get like a delicious quesadilla or like some kind of taco. But it wasn't.
Yeah, that's
that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
But it has everything to do with Phoenix and some of the things that we need to change that I'm totally for because it sucks that all we have is Taco Bell. Taco Bell and then our local Filiberto's. Filiberto is pretty decent. That's definitely after bar food.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, have any fan stories or message ever stopped you in your tracks and made you emotional?
Yeah, all the time, to be honest with you. People talk about if they played my song at a wedding or a funeral or every year they do the Spotify Wrapped kind of thing. As a listener, you get these are the top songs you listen to. And as an artist, you get this is how many people listen to music and this is how many people you were the top five artists, and this is how many people you were their favorite artist. And that always impacts me every single year because Spotify is amazing. Digital stream platforms are amazing. You can listen to any artist from any time all over the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
you can even listen to us.
The fact that I'm anybody's favorite, you can listen to you. And the fact that I'm anybody's favorite artist is still humbling to me. The fact that anybody chooses to listen to me over the Beatles or over Beyonce or over George Michael.
Right.
Or anybody.
The hundreds of thousands of other artists that have that big label behind them are there. And you're able to compete with them on that platform, which is very interesting.
That I'm just brilliant, that I admire.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just admire it. I admire all these people and I'm just humbled by the fact that I'm able to do this at all. And so I do hear, it's funny because sometimes I meet people at shows now and they tell me that Bears, like the music video Bears is like their coming out or their understanding of their own sexuality. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. They'll be like, yeah, I stumbled upon it when I was in junior high school. And I'm like, why are you at my show? You're too young to be in my show. And then I realized Bears has been out for 12 years now. And if you were in junior high school, you're like you're in your mid-20s. So it's really humbling to me as somebody who didn't have something like that. And so didn't understand my sexuality because there wasn't a model for me. I didn't realize that I could be attracted to Bears. I didn't realize that I could be gay and just like something different. So I'm really humbled by that. I feel like,
yeah, we're conditioned to like certain things, so to speak, through what we're exposed and what we're told is beautiful and whatnot. And then you come in, you say that this is beautiful. And people are like, yeah, it is. And they agree with you and they just don't realize it because they've been told something else their entire lives.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing.
Now, you've got some really creative music videos. How involved are you with the visual storytelling process?
Oh, super involved. I'm not sure which video you're talking about, but some videos I'm conceptualizing and directing and editing, and some videos I'm working with collaborators, like my newest video, Bear Soup. I work with Michael Serrato, who I've worked on a bunch of music videos with. But yeah, a lot of it's a conversation. Sometimes it's not. The great thing about working with Michael is we made so many things together that sometimes there's been a couple times where we made things which I haven't been really involved because I just trust him. And I'm like, okay, have fun, go to town. But I'm always really very involved and I'm do the majority of the editing as well. So even after the fact that I'm curating how the video looks and what performance of mine and like, so yeah, I have my hands in every bit of it.
And what do you look for in a creative partner?
I look for a creative partner. These days is a little bit different. I think early on in my career, I looked for creative partners that I like. It's really, being an artist, And being somebody in the entertainment industry is very strange, because you so badly want people to like you and invest in you and help elevate your craft to the next level, right?
Right.
So much so that you oftentimes ignore red flags about people or about people's work ethics or about why people are in the room to begin with. And nowadays, and so I think when you're young, you're like, oh, I want to work with this producer. And then, or I want to get signed to this label. And then the label mistreats you, or the producer mistreats you, or heaven forbid something really horrible happens. But you put up with it because right. your desire to be successful is so much higher than your brain saying this is wrong. And you force things. I think nowadays, I have so many wonderful people in my life that I just love collaborating with. And I know they love collaborating with me. And I know they're invested in what I do, and they want whatever I make to be the best that it can be. It's not about their ego, it's not about my ego, it's about the project, the song, the video, whatever it may be. And that is at the forefront of the conversation and of the collaboration. So I guess what I look for in a collaborator is somebody who's interested in the project and who is interested in who I am as a person and enjoys me as a person, and somebody who I enjoy, and somebody who I appreciate their talent, and somebody that I know that I can have honest conversations with so we can make the best thing possible. I love collaborating because you can only be so good by yourself. And everybody you bring on to a project changes the way the outcome of the project is. And it can really elevate the project, or it can completely kill the project. People are important. Like, being wise about who you bring into projects is important.
I agree. And that's how I envision, like, this podcast, for example. It's a collaboration. People are like, oh, you're really good at podcasting. Like, all I'm doing is helping people tell their stories. Maybe I'm good at asking questions, and maybe I'm good at editing. But the rest of it is all about the other person that's there. Like, for example, you right now. And
yeah.
With technology the way it is today, so this question is more relevant than ever. So if you could work with any dream artist, dead or alive, who would you love to do a duet with?
It's an interesting question. I think I'd like to work with Childish Gambino. I've just always really admired his music, and I'm such an admirer of his filmmaking as well. Like, he's just this next level thinker in a way that is hard to comprehend. Like, he's so out there. I think it would be really great to see him work. Obviously, Paul McCartney would be unbelievable. There's so many. I'm just in awe of the creative process. And there's been so many amazing artists over the course of history. And frankly, I would be grateful to work with anybody.
Yeah.
Ryan Tedder as a producer. There's so many people that I'd be like, God, this is amazing. I would be happy just to get the coffee. That's fine.
That's how I felt in my radio career. I'm glad I'm just in the room.
Yeah.
What's next for you? You said the tour starts up, right?
Yeah. So I have a new single called Bare Suit, a new single and a new video. It features a rapper by the name of Chris Condi. It's really fun. If you haven't seen the video, you should go check it out. Just Google Tom Goff, Bare Suit. I have another single and video coming out in the summertime called Gay Stuff. That'll be another really fun pop anthem. And I have a whole new album coming on the heels of all that, which is more like Americana, like queer Americana. And I'm on tour all summertime. So if you're on the East Coast, I'd probably come in close to your town. So you should come out and come hang out with me. I'll be doing some West Coast dates in October. And just like constantly moving, constantly creating. I'm just tracking along and making stuff.
Excellent. When you come out to the West Coast, hopefully Phoenix is somewhere on that map. If not, let's see if we can try and make something happen. I'd love to see you.
Yeah, again. Honestly, I'm striking out in Phoenix. If you have any advice, I have a tour with Kristen Ford and Rachel Stade, which are two really amazing artists. And we've been trying to find a place in Phoenix, but it's been not working for us. If you have any advice, I'm all ears.
All right. Offline, let's exchange some info, and then I'll do some footwork for you and see what I can find out. All right.
Okay, you're the best.
So someone who's new to your work, which is the one song you would want them to hear first, and why that one?
Oh, my gosh. I can't do that. Okay.
It's like trying to pick your favorite child, right?
I would do it like this. I would say like this. Like, I would say, like, I would have to feel out the person, too.
Got it.
If you're, like, somebody who really likes bears and who just wants to go have a party with bears, I would listen to Bears. If you're like a hopeful romantic, I would listen to Breath and Sound or Something Beautiful. If you're like somebody who like kind of like old timey 60s pop, I would listen to Enemy of Good. I would have to feel out the person first. I have such a diverse catalog of music over the course of almost 20 years and so many different sounds. If you're like a gamer, then I would listen to Nerdy Bear. I'll be like, okay, this song's for you. I would also point people to music videos because I made so many music videos and they're really impactful.
Excellent. Excellent. And how can listeners support you? Buy your music, see you live, follow your journey?
Everything's at Tom Goss Music. It's patreon.com, Tom Goss Music. Everything is Tom Goss Music. So if you're on Twitter, I love Twitter.
Yay.
If you're on Facebook, if you're on Instagram, if you're on Blue Sky, if you're on YouTube, it's all at Tom Goss Music or at TomGossMusic.com.
Excellent. And lastly, what's one message you'd like to leave with our community here in Phoenix?
What taco stand outside of whatever gig I'm playing at in the future?
Okay, because when I'm looking for a venue, I'll make sure there's a taco stand. No, I'll say it's in his writer.
Really. It has to be very Phoenix specific. That's what it would be. No, but it's just, thank you for taking the time to listen to me. Thank you for taking the time to be interested in what I have to say. It means a lot to me. And yeah, thank you. And hopefully I see you at a show and can give you a big hug.
You are about to embark on a hero's journey. You will do something you never thought you could do. Destiny awaits, and you cannot escape it.
Very funny, Valentina. You can just say take out the trash next time.
Honey, in this house, we're all your friends. What's your name?
I'm Simon.
I'm Mama Moo Moo. This is my place. Every drag performer is unique.
Thank you. I love you, boys.
The name's Dinah. Dynabolical.
Cry, you miserable queens!
Igor! Showtime!
When you fall in love with you, your star begins to glow. But when you put that up to use, you become a hero. When you fall in love with you, your star begins to glow.
God, who are you?
The name's Maxi LaWow.
Maxi LaWow!
Maxi LaWow, Super Shiro, available on iTunes, Apple TV, and wherever you stream your superpower.
Girl, I'm a super queen.
Pride lives here.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Gay PHX Podcast. A huge thank you to our guest today, Chico from Onyx, for the powerful conversation around kink, community, and visibility. And to Tom Goss for sharing his voice, his heart, and his incredible journey through music. We're so lucky to have artists and leaders like them making space, breaking barriers, and building something beautiful right here in our community. And of course, thank you for tuning in.
Whether it's your first episode or you've been with us since the beginning, we're so grateful to have you in our corner. Your support, your stories, your presence are what makes this show worth doing. And if you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check out gayphx.com for photos of the weekend, our event calendar, and to tell us who we should feature next. This is your community podcast, and your voice belongs here. Until next time, stay cool, stay proud, and stay connected. See you next week.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.